Hey guys, welcome back to Listen Bitch Presents Tell Me Why You're Special. This is the arena where we don't just talk about health, we talk about the life that's affecting it. Because the truth is, a lot of people are running around exhausted, not lazy, not weak, but just exhausted from stress, from pressure, from overgiving, from people pleasing, from never slowing down. And after enough years of living like that, your body starts speaking up. And God does not design us to spend our whole lives surviving in environments that are slowly draining us. So today I want to talk about the stress, the healing, the boundaries, what it looks like to finally reclaim yourself. Today's guest is Katie Boyer. She is a woman who decided she was done sacrificing her health for stress and pressure and environments that were wearing her down. Katie, thank you so much for coming into the hot seat today. I've been looking forward to the conversation since you booked. Just I know Katie, y'all. She is, when I first moved to Michigan, we saw her quite a bit because I homeschooled and we hung out at the library a lot. So we'll get into that. But Katie, take me to the moment you realized your body and your life couldn't keep going the way they were. Was there a big moment? What specifically happened?
Yes, I had spent some time. I'd been struggling with my job, and I had talked to my doctor, and eventually I realized I needed to see a therapist to try to see if I could fix things, what I might do to feel better. And I had tried all the things that I could with the therapy, and my therapist suggested I start looking for another job, and I got a job offer, and I was in the car thinking about it, and I'm like, should I take this job? I don't know. I'd hate to leave the library. And then I was like, you know, if I just kill myself, I don't have to make this decision. And it was just a fleeting thought. It wasn't really that, full, but I was just like, the fact that I could even consider that meant that I needed to not be in the situation I was in anymore.
No, that makes a lot of sense. And I think that I love that you brought that up because there's a lot of people and they don't ever talk about it that they have that thought of like, God, if I just kill myself, it's done. Right? Like we think it's the worst moment for some, I think it's more common than it should be. So I love that you're willing to bring that up and talk about it. What is stress looking like in your actual daily life back then?
Back then, I responded to a lot of things by sighing, apparently. My husband would comment on that. He's talked about that since then. My body, I started to gain weight. I couldn't sleep. I had almost an impossible time getting to sleep. And as I begun to recover, I've noticed other things that were stress that I didn't even realize. I play Magic the Gathering with my friends, and I wouldn't sacrifice my creatures that were on the board because I just didn't want them to die. It was too stressful for me. And now I'm like, why wouldn't I do that? Why? I play completely differently because everything is not a make or break decision. Back then, every small decision was fight or flight, make or break because I was at that point all the time.
Even playing the games. Yeah, I could see that. What is it that you think you were tolerating for too long?
I was tolerating trying to live up to an expectation that was physically impossible. The expectation I started to get was that I had to be available all the time for this job. I have examples. I would get text messages at 5:30 in the morning. I would get text messages and phone calls at midnight. I had surgery and I had a message the next day from work asking me questions. We had a situation where we had to reschedule meetings and reschedule meetings, and they rescheduled it to a time I already had plans. And it was like, well, you should cancel those plans because you have to work. And I didn't get a vacation for like 5 years. I would take a week off around my birthday, but that's in November, and we were a polling place, and I would go in during that week for like 16 hours. You know how long polls in Michigan are? I would be there 5:30 in the morning until 9 or 10 at night.
I never would have thought, Katie, to be honest, that a library job would be so demanding and stressful. That's crazy to me.
It got to a point, it just felt like, not that I was the most and only capable person there, but it started to feel like sometimes the belief was, well, if nothing else, cat'll fix this. We don't always have to do stuff. Cat'll do it for us. We did evening movies for a couple years, like drive-in style. I ran every single one of those movies. So I would be at work downtown Benton Harbor on a Friday or a Saturday until 1 o'clock in the morning by myself.
Even as a bartender in Benton Harbor, I didn't leave by myself. So that was brave. That was brave. And just so you guys know, listening, okay, it's not the safest place on planet Earth in Southwest Michigan. Not the safest place for anybody. But yeah, we survived it, right? Why do you think, because hustle culture is a whole thing, I think there's a lot of people finally rebelling against it, but why do you think so many people normalize just being constantly overwhelmed? Like it's just what we do.
It's because I think we have generations that don't find a good middle ground. Because I work with youth and I see a lot of nowadays where it's like, if I can't get it right away, I'm just not going to do it. And my generation seemed to be like, you have to work, you have to always work the hardest you can. And there needs to be some sort of middle ground. I feel lucky that I have the job I have now. And I feel like I've gotten that middle ground because I work hard, but then when I go home, I get to stop. And I don't know if it's where in society we got that idea for a certain generation that just had to go and never say no.
You have this thought, you have the thought where you're just like, if I kill myself, I don't have to make a choice. Tell us what happens after that thought when you realize, like, you know, this was it. What was the next right thing you do, and what pushed you to make those major changes?
I just knew I was not good for myself. I was not being a good wife to my husband. I couldn't keep going like that. If I was thinking that, that meant that that job and the stress I was under and what I was doing was going to permanently damage me in some way, shape, or form. So I took a chance and accepted my other job. My therapist actually wrote me a note to get me. I gave my month's notice. That's at the position I was in. I had to give a whole month's notice. And my therapist wrote me a note saying, due to my mental health, I needed 2 weeks so that I would stay for 2 weeks and then leave. And I had planned to get a little bit of downtime. I didn't really step right into the new job and just started going, but it was a breath of fresh air, even as stressful as that was, just being able to say no.
No, I'm sure. And I mean, that's probably the first time in your life that you really had to embrace a hard no. I see people all the time. That decision that you made paralyzes them. So I guess this is a two-part question. Like, what was the hardest part about stepping away from that version of your life? And why do you think it's so hard for people to just say no?
The hardest part of stepping away from that version of my life, and I was thinking about this on the way home, is that was my life. I was Library Cat. That was my handle. It's my gaming handle. That's who I was.
Your
I didn't
identity.
know how to identify outside of that. I sacrificed probably having kids for that job. So that's what I had. And if I let it go, to me, it felt like my life had meant nothing. I didn't leave anything behind. And it's so hard to say no, I think, because sometimes we know it's the right thing to say. You can feel it. And that would happen to me where I had hit a boundary. I'm like, I can't do that. And I was told that that was unacceptable because it didn't meet what someone else needed. It didn't matter what I needed. They needed something, and so they were not going to accept me saying no.
No, that makes sense. What changes physically? I mean, because I knew Library Cat, I know how much you've changed physically. It's been a beautiful transformation, phenomenal. But what else did you notice that changed physically once you started reducing stress? Number one, I know you said you weren't sleeping, and I think people don't understand that that is step number one. It doesn't matter how much you go to the gym. It doesn't matter if you change your diet. If you're not sleeping, you're fucked.
Like, I remember one day at the library thinking, I'm so tired, I want to tear my own skin off. I just, it was mind numbing. But I've been able to sleep. I did get some supplemental help because I've been to the doctor. My cortisol was high. I needed some help regulating my hormones. I'm also at a certain age where women do need some of that support. I can lift weights again. I stopped taking my allergy shots. I've lost some of my food sensitivities. I don't wheeze every time I work out anymore. My asthma isn't constantly triggered. Like, there's food I didn't eat for a decade because I was allergic to it, and I can eat it now.
Nice. Yeah, I think people don't understand physical health changes everything in your life.
I lost 30 pounds last year
Nice.
just being more active, trying to eat a little better, but I didn't go on any crazy diet. I didn't do anything like that. It was finally my body detoxing enough to be able to let go of that weight.
I think what does living authentically actually look like for you now?
It looks like doing what I can for my job and caring about it. That is important to me. And I found another job that still did what I needed to do, which is I'm a natural caretaker. So I found another job that I could apply those skills. But it means going on bike rides, spending time outside, seeing my husband before 7 o'clock at night, making us dinner, spending time with my friends, being able to just have my own time and my own thoughts, and now being able to clean some stuff in my house, do bigger projects because my mind isn't constantly screaming at me.
That makes a lot of sense. So, since becoming more active and more intentional and just kind of getting to be you completely and authentically, even just the movement, right? Like, what does that give back to you emotionally?
Oh, it's just amazing. I cycle or bike a lot, and I'll be out there for just a couple of hours or so, and it feels exactly like me. I'm doing what I want to do. I love to be active. I listen to music lightly. I can still hear everything around me. I love the sun. I love the fresh air. And I look around where we are, and I'm just looking around. I'm like, I am so lucky to live here. This place is so beautiful. And I'm seeing it and feeling it. I'm not in a car, passing by. I'm fully in this environment, and it feels like peace. It feels like home. It feels like when you're a kid again and you sit outside on like a Saturday morning or something, and you could feel that sun and your whole life is ahead of you. It feels like that.
I mean, I can relate to that because that's how I feel on the motorcycle. It is just like the air, this everything is just kind of quiet, and it's very connected. Wind therapy is what they call it. I guess we're getting the same thing, just at a little different pace, right? I love that. What is something that, if you're speaking to my listeners today, what is something that they don't realize that is quietly destroying their health?
Focusing too much on what anyone else thinks. You have to balance it a little bit. There are a couple people in your life that you really should maybe look at and say, I really want to consider their opinion. And if they tell me something, that I'm acting a certain way or that this belief of mine is damaging, I'm going to really consider that and talk to them. But aside from your close family and a couple of close friends, it doesn't fucking matter. It really doesn't. After leaving my last job, I also started to speak out about my personal opinion, and I lost people. And you know what? Bye. You don't get to have me.
No, I very much feel that. I know the feeling of loss, and it's, I think probably our experience might be a little similar in that it's not just a loss. There was a lot of hate and a lot of, judgment and name calling and a lot of bullshit that came along with it. And it really, to me, just kind of showed me who people were. And like, those were the people we had in our lives. And I'm like, why were we tolerating that? Like, this kind of person is going to be so triggered. So, the trash takes itself out, I guess we would say, because what were they bringing to your life? What quality?
I was Facebook friends with one of my old bosses, and after I had spoken out about my opinions, I got feedback from that person that She preferred the old me. And I'm like, you preferred the severely depressed version of myself
Of
than
course.
me being able to be open and honest and being healthier. That is messed up to tell someone. That's evil to tell someone.
But it says a lot about her also, because you being who you were keeps her safe in her comfort zone, and nobody has to grow, because in order to really be in this human experience, we all have to grow. And that means we're willing to support other people in their growth. We're willing to open on perspectives. We're willing to see a perspective. This show right here, Kat, has taught me a lot, because I sit across people that have different views, different values, different everything, and we can have a conversation. The minute that comes up, and the fact when people stop talking and people are just like, I miss the old you, that right there says everything to me. Because if you're not willing to grow, and I've seen this experience. I've seen where, a broken person sits on my show, completely just defends their race, completely defends a lot of things, and I suddenly saw, like, that's just a broken little kid that people treated like shit. He made that his identity, so he has to cling to what he feels like is his sense of belonging. So there was no judgment. There was no, like, it was just a gift to be able to see that. And, I actually follow him on socials now, because I feel like he's going to have this exponential growth of who he really is without trying to belong to all of these things. But having the conversations, it's that easy.
And that's one thing. I love so many people that are so different than me, and I can accept them. I might make fun of what they believe. I might. It's not kind of me,
Absolutely.
but I genuinely love them. And if you can't accept that I'm different than you and accept me for who I am, then and be kind about it. You know, I had people bring up my job and just belittle me, and I don't need that. I don't deserve that. I don't need that. And I'm in a place now where I feel comfortable being like, I don't deserve that. There's nothing I do that requires that response from you. I am not that person.
Exactly. What would you say to someone listening right now who they are just completely burnt out, and they're in their head, and they do care about the judgment, because they haven't found that sense of self to be able to step apart from that? What would you say to them?
It's hard. It is terrifying. It's scary. I still self-censor sometimes, or I hide things from people. Like, I'll block certain people from posts because I don't want to upset or hurt them. But find the one or two people that you know, that you trust, and that are your family. They don't have to necessarily be your blood relation or whatever, but find them and know those are your people. As long as you have them, you've got your foundation, you've got your rock, and it's okay. You don't have to be loved by 50 people. The good, strong, accepting love of three people is worth way more than fake acceptance from 100 different followers.
Amen to that. I wish I could exclamation point that right now. That's perfectly said. What is something that your younger self would never believe that you enjoy now?
That's actually a really good question. I don't know, because it's odd. I'm a lot like my younger self still. There are people that say, you know, I had different political beliefs, I had different this. Honestly, I would say country music. I like some country music.
We're the same in that. My younger self would have, like, totally obliterated myself right now because I listen to country. That's really funny. What is, Kat, what is the legacy message that you would want to be known for? When people think of you, what do you want them to resonate on?
And this is interesting, because there's that classmates website, and someone left a response about me or an impression, and I actually paid for like a month so I could see what it was. And the person said I was kind, and that's my core, I think, is kindness and really believing and accepting and supporting people, especially young adults that don't always get that support. That's my legacy, is telling kids and tweens and teens, You matter. You matter
Yes.
because you are you, not because you get straight A's, not because you're the perfect child, not because you've never made a mistake. You matter because you matter, and I care about you.
Yeah, I love that. I think that would be an incredible legacy message, and I feel like you live that. I think you are the epitome of that. Anything else that you want to leave our audience with? How can they find you, follow you if they're like, I want to watch your journey?
My Instagram is open for people to see. It's Library Cat. There's a lot of pictures of my cats and my dog and pictures from me biking and running. There, I do have a Facebook. My name is Katie Boyer. It's locked down to friends, but people can friend request me. If they do, I usually send a message saying, how do I know you? And if they tell me how they know me, I'm happy to talk to them.
Yeah, fabulous. Well, this is the part of the show, darling, because our time is up, where I'm going to tell you what I think makes you special. And it's not that your story is flashy, because it is. It's that it's real. It's that you recognize stress was costing you everything, your health, your future, your peace, your identity. And you chose to change it, where other people would stay stuck, where other people would self-sacrifice in the name of whatever you want to call it, people pleasing or keeping everyone else comfortable. You rebelled. You chose you in a world that demands for you to be a victim. And now you're showing other people that it's okay to slow down. It is okay to set boundaries and to stop abandoning themselves just to keep everyone else comfortable. I think that your story matters deeply, and it is one that can impact a lot of my listeners today. I think that makes you special. And for you guys, listen, your body keeps the score. Your stress matters, boundaries matter. Rest matters, and constantly abandoning yourself has consequences. God did not create you to spend your whole life exhausted and disconnected from who He created you to be. You're allowed to slow down. This is your permission slip today. You're allowed to slow down. You're allowed to heal. You're allowed to choose peace. And I'm telling you, be intentional with your life and be radically honest with yourself. And remember that your message, even the burnout, even the stress, even the years you lost yourself trying to hold your shit together, that is where your wisdom comes from. If this episode spoke to you, please share it out so that there is someone out there who needs to hear Kat's message to give themselves permission to go ahead and choose them. Share that out for us today, because neither of us will get to that person without your help. And you guys know, if you're ready for the hot seat, I double dog dare you to come and tell me why you're special. This was awesome, Kat. It was so great to see you. Thanks for taking the time to speak to my audience today.
Thank you for having me here.